Times on Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com and by Orange Theory Fitness. Come see why the New York Times and Men's Health rated the best one-hour workout. Your first workout is free. Open in Burlington on Shelburne Road. The Huddle is now on 101.3 ESPN. 101.3ESPN.com and streaming worldwide. 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Whoa! What a weekend!
Whoa!
What a weekend!
Whoa.
Man,
mine's my favorite weekend of the year. Memorial Day is my favorite holiday.
I agree. Yeah. It really is.
I'm still hungover.
From what?
Everything.
Yeah.
Food.
Certainly
booze,
not from booze.
Everything. Just yeah, but you could be hungover from food too.
In a food coma.
Yes. Yeah. And then Brady gets us here too early at meetings, and I fell asleep during one of the meetings, and it's just too much. And I got to take a nap.
Yeah.
I feel like I got
to
take a
nap. You need
to
consider that CPAP machine. The snoring was unbelievable at
that meeting. Oh, jeez. No, you mean the Zipa. That happy Z spelled backwards is what you're saying.
Whatever it's
I
called.
Listened to that guy. Yeah, there's a... My dog snores like you wouldn't believe. I should get it for the dog. I wonder if they have one for animals.
A CPAP for a dog.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It was a great weekend, but first and foremost, I have to air some grievances for both of you guys.
Oh, no.
We had an unbelievable time at the Essex Memorial Day Parade.
Uh-oh.
An unbelievable time. There's actually two things.
Yes.
That
there we go.
Yes.
You guys didn't walk.
That I'm upset with. That was not even on my list.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
But number one, you guys didn't walk.
Right.
I walked.
Wish I could.
I would love to.
I would have loved to.
You rode 70 miles on a bike yesterday. And you
that
were
is
incapable
true.
Of. And you were incapable of walking 1 mile?
Are you telling me that's true, Rich?
There are no foot strikes in biking. I can't tell you what a difference that makes.
Wow.
You were incapable
of
walking 1 mile from the fairgrounds?
You're right. I should have just abandoned the steering wheel and let it go wherever it went.
So anyways.
I ride in the car for my own protection. So, you know.
Number one, Arnie, we were unloading the van, and I said, wait a second, and you slammed the trunk on my head.
Yes.
So that didn't feel so good.
I didn't hear you, I think.
and then my biggest...
You know what? You look at it and slam it harder. I could have taken your neck off right there with a crunch.
Like a cleaver?
Yeah. How funny. I was laughing.
Oh, yeah. That'd be hilarious.
I was laughing. I'm like, oh, sorry. I didn't hear you.
Biggest complaint, though, was we get back to the fairgrounds.
Yes.
And I'm walking right behind the van. And rather than stop and let me... drive with you back to the meeting place. You both just took off in the car.
Rich took off. I wasn't driving. I couldn't stop.
Rich took off. So
I did not know you were there.
I was behind you for the entire mile of the parade. What
I
do you mean you didn't know
for
I was
Brady,
there?
Stop for Brady.
What do you
I
mean
said.
You didn't know I was there?
I had a
there?
Little bit of an old man brain fart. It's bound to happen once in a great while.
You just left him on the road like a dead dog, for crying out loud.
How?
Somebody
we're
to scoop
a
little
morbid today, talking about beheading one of our co-hosts and dead dogs.
Jeez, you just left them like a dog, like there on the highway.
So there I was in the rain. By the way, walking back to the infield at the Champlain. But you know what? The joke's on you. I got my steps in for the day, so I got some exercise, and neither one of you got anything. And by the way, did you pass out any candy, or did you just eat it all? Because I saw how many wrappers did I find in our van?
Yeah, how about that?
I ate a lot of candy.
He had an entire coffee cup of wrappers.
I'm feeling
all
sick
he did.
Even now over
did
what I
did you wave to anyone the whole route?
Yeah, I did. I waved to people. Yeah, I waved to people and ate candy at the same time. I could do both.
Nobody waved to us. People were just sitting there. I think they were
drenched.
They
were waving, yeah.
Well, but we had to sort of initiate it.
How'd you like the picture I took with my buddy, Bernie Sanders?
Yes, I took one too.
Yep.
Like, Bernie, let me take a picture, Bernie. Get over here. Get over here, Bernie. I need to take a picture.
I'm surprised his security force didn't surround him when he heard you.
Yeah, I was just bellowing. Get in here.
And I got
Bernie!
On and on with him about my
Bernie!
Days at another radio station, WDEV down in Waterbury, where he was the host of a show and I ran the engineering for him, and he's like, oh, yeah, whatever. Who's next?
Sanders Spanier 2020?
Get over here, Bernie!
Is that
Sanders
what I'm hearing?
Spanier.
Don't run away. What are you doing?
It's the Bernie and Arnie show.
Yeah, he was trying to get away, but I tracked him down. He's not faster than I am, even with a bad knee, so didn't make it. He was looking good, though, just walking around, checking out the cars, enjoying the parade, having a good time out there.
And he couldn't go three steps without being stopped. That's... We talked about this at the time. I think he's probably the single most recognizable figure in Vermont history.
Second to
is
me.
Is that a stretch?
More so than Ethan Allen?
Wow. If Ethan Allen walked up to you today, would you know, hey, Ethan, how are you, buddy?
How you doing, buddy? I've seen the pictures of you. You look great.
Not Phil Scott? You're saying he's more recognizable?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Bernie, I mean, who's...
Ben and Jerry are more recognizable
really?
Than Phil Scott. No, than Phil Scott.
Oh, than Phil Scott, yes. But, I mean, put that on the, you know, I'd like to hear from people about that. Who's a more familiar person in the history of Vermont than Bernie Sanders?
Tom Brennan?
Yeah, he's up there.
He is up there. I'd put him second, third, maybe.
Tom Brennan and Champ, the Lake Monster?
Yeah, well, if Champ shows up, then you know it. That's true. He's big and green and hairy. But I just, Bernie's so distinctive looking, to put it mildly.
Looks like Larry David.
You know. Yes, he does. Or is it Larry David looks like him?
Yeah. I don't know who's older.
No, he's just somebody. It was funny to watch him because he was all around us for the whole, you know, we were out at the fairgrounds before the parade started as we gathered and lined up, by the way, in the wrong spot. But who cares?
I moved us up to save us some time.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he literally couldn't go five steps. And people were just coming after him. It was amazing.
Arnie, you had to track him down. He actually came up to me and asked, hey, can I take a picture with you?
Yes, yes, I had to track him down.
Aren't you Brady Farkas from Oswego State?
Aren't you Brady Farkas from the Huddle in Champlain Valley Game
Day? Don't run for me, Bernie. I'm faster than you. You're too old to run for me, for crying out loud.
You didn't have a race.
You didn't challenge Bernie to one-on-one.
No, but I should have. And he might have accepted. Who knows? All right, we got a busy show. We got trivia tonight at the Burger Bar. So tell me what's going on this week, Brady, and what's coming up today.
Yeah, great. Burger Bar in Colchester tonight. We are back for trivia, 7:30 to 9:30. Half-price apps. They've got tons of drink specials, including, look at this long list. Lost Nation, Gosa. Angry Orchard, they've got Blue Moon, Miller Lite, Coors Light, Long Trail, Blackberry Wheat, 14 Stars got a beer there now. So very big doings today, 7:30 to 9:30, Burger Bar in Colchester. Remember, tomorrow, Red Sox play an afternoon game, so we'll be on late tomorrow. So enjoy us now while you have us.
Plus, Eduardo Rodriguez is getting the start, which means we may not be on at all.
Wow.
Mistake of the Day is brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's. Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. You can get in at 802-655-6672. As for today, some interesting comments by a former Patriot, some interesting comments by a current Red Sox, Tom Karen of Nesson at 4:35. We will announce the winner of the Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience. We'll do that at 5 o'clock.
And Doug says in Hinesburg, Voya, fun fact, there's no known pictures of Ethan Allen, by the way.
I'm sure.
So if Ethan Allen walked into the studio,
we'd have no idea. So
we'd say, may we help you?
Yeah, because there's no known pictures of you.
Is that Doug trying to get in on the mistake
no.
of the day?
No. He just thought that's a fun fact. That's all he threw out there.
Well, we have Ben and Jerry at number one on this new first-time texter. Bernie's second and Trey Anastasio third. Yeah, I guess in this day and age, that's probably true.
Who is Trey Anastasio?
From Fish.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Oh, he's a fun guy to hang around with. You talk about autograph
I didn't want to say who. I waited for Brady to ask. I don't want to sound stupid, but I still don't know who.
Really?
No, I don't know who. I know Fish, but I don't know who the hell that is. Yeah. I'm more famous than that guy.
Trust me, you're not more famous than Trey.
Maybe.
How about Russillo? Was Russillo on the list?
No.
Wow.
Marty St. Louis?
Yeah.
Taylor Coppenrath?
I would put Marty somewhere in the top 10.
I'm more famous than Taylor Coppenrath.
Mike Trimboli?
Don't humor yourself.
Stop with Trimboli, please. All right, what's coming up?
Let's get right to it. The Celtics season is over. They lose game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't even know what day it was anymore. Sunday it was, and it was a terrible game. 87-79 is the final. I mean, look, we could break down the game. We could talk about what went wrong. All in all, though, I think people on the Town for Tire text line get in with how you're feeling about the Celtics right now. I got to assume, and Rich, will start with you then, I got to assume as disappointed as you are, you look back at this and say, okay, when's next season start already?
I was amazed, and the Boston sports fans, for how many years now in regards to the Celtics, seem content with anything they get out of them as long as they continue to get better. I can't remember. I mean, they are the most impatient sports fans on earth, and I obviously lump myself in there. But they are just hanging around with these guys. I thought they choked their season away on Sunday, to be honest with you. I was furious for about a day. And then at some point you move on and you go, yeah, but you know what? They're going to be really good. But people seem to be blind to the fact that they just blew that series.
The Rockets are going to be really good also, but they blew their series. I don't think Rocket fans are feeling good how that entered. Though, it's a different feel for the Celtics. First of all, yes, it was a great year. Nobody expected them to get that far, especially with the injuries to Hayward and to Kyrie. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. That was phenomenal. Brad Stevens did a great job. That still doesn't take away the fact that, yes, they could have won the series and gone to the NBA championship. Not that they would have won it, but they could have gotten there. So I will say that. So there's a little bit of disappointment that they didn't make it that far. But now the reason I think the disappointment goes away quickly is because there's so many decisions to be made on next year. You know, Kyrie, how's he coming back? Do you really want Gordon Hayward back on this team and pay him $150 million or whatever you're going to have to pay him, $125 million? You know, a lot of decisions. What about the contracts that are going to be coming up real soon for the Celtics for them to decide? That's why the future looks fantastic for him.
You know, Rich, I think you talk about it as they choked away their season, and maybe that's true, but why people are kind of giving them a pass on that, because there's something to be said in a fan's mindset about knowing that you're there a year early. And when you know you're there a year early and you know you're playing with house money, and then you can look at the future and say, man, we did all this and we weren't even supposed to be here, right? Fans will give you a pass on that. Look at the Yankees last year. That's a perfect example. The Yankees last year were supposed to be young, in development. We didn't know about Judge. Could he do it a whole season? They weren't supposed to have the pitching. They had all these prospects. And here they were in the Game 7 of the ALCS. This is the year the Yankees are supposed to win. Last year's Yankees, I think, were given a free pass for losing in the same way the Celtics are.
Yeah, I mean, I understand expectations, and they're very dangerous, no question about it. But I'm just surprised that the Boston sports fans are just continuing to let this go on and on. So now what happens next year? We get to the finals and then lose that? And everybody's happy about that? And wait till next year? And I don't know. I'm just not nearly patient enough. And I can't wait. I'm already excited for opening day next fall, for the Celtics. They are going to be loaded. They're going to be unbelievable. But I was amazed at the amount of people, whether it be Heinsohn or Kyle Draper or Scal or all those guys, immediately after the game just glowing about, oh, this is what a great season. They blew those last, especially that last game. You go out and shoot 9 for 35 and miss a bunch of free throws and let, you know, and just, I don't know. I was furious after the game.
They were 7 for 39 from three in that game.
I'm looking at, you know what? I'm looking at the Cavs. Yeah,
they were 7 of 39 from three. And the one thing that.
Stake of the day.
Yeah, the one thing. Do I get it? The one thing that I think we do need to realize is that a lot of people, and probably all of us included, are just penciling the Celtics in next year to be back in the Eastern Conference Finals again, because you look on paper and you say, well, next year this team should be better given who they have coming back. But go ask the Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Kevin Durant era Oklahoma City Thunder that thought they had a young nucleus for years that was going to get them back to final after final. Never happened again.
Yeah, but they're not a number one seed. Right now, before even the championship has even been played, before anything is done, before we even know where LeBron is going, right now, the number one team in the Eastern Conference for next year is the Boston Celtics.
The Sixers are up there, but yes, the Celtics
are
number one.
If it came down between the Sixers and Celtics, I would have no problem, because you know the Sixers aren't going to have, they'll add maybe a little piece here or there, but they're pretty much going to be the same if they don't have a major injury.
They're getting Fultz back.
I don't know what that guy's going to do. That's a whole other point. Yeah. I'm not even sure what that guy's going to be. But that, besides that, there's no doubt that the number one team in the Eastern Conference is the Boston Celtics. And Philadelphia maybe two, and the defending champs, Cleveland, maybe down at number three, depending on what happens with LeBron.
But, I mean, I think it's okay to be angry at them for a couple of hours, at least. Because, I mean, Terry Rozier, hello? I mean, he has 28 points in Game 6. And he comes back to the Garden and puts up a 2 for 14, 0 for 10 from beyond the arc. It's like, stop shooting. It's not your night.
Yeah, but you're going to stop him from shooting. Then who else had another?
Jaylen Brown.
And he's going to stop shooting. And Jaylen Brown had a bad night.
Awful.
Who the hell's going to shoot the ball? Somebody got to shoot the ball. That's like the Rockets. They missed, 27 three-pointers in a row. I think they missed two more today. You know, something's got to go. You know, I swear, I was watching them miss all those three-pointers. I'm like, man, if I was out there, I don't think I could miss 27 in a row if I tried.
No, I couldn't either.
I don't think I could do that. I think I could hit one of them.
You know, and
jeez.
It was amazing how similar the two game sevens were. I mean, they were almost a carbon copy of each other. The home team gets out to a good-sized double-digit lead early, and then all of a sudden can't hit the side of a mountain for the rest of the game,
yeah,
and the other team comes
furious.
Back and wins easily.
Rocket fans are furious. Celtic fans are happy.
The thing that's different about the thing that frustrates me, rather, about this game is if you look at the stats, even though the Celtics played poorly, they still did a number of things better than the Cavaliers did. They both shot terrible from three. The Cavs hit 9, the Celtics hit 7. They both missed a bunch. You call that a wash. The Celtics out-rebounded the Cavs by one, which was a weakness in the middle part of that series back in Cleveland.
Turnovers?
They committed half as many turnovers. You look at those stats and you say, you know what, we were in a position to win this game. The thing that they didn't do was the young guys didn't play as well as they played. Tatum had 24, but Brown played horrible, as you said. Rozier shot horrible. And the difference was LeBron. And maybe it was – look, I picked the Celtics in seven at first, and I moved it to six, and maybe I overstated how great Brad Stevens was and how they could come up with an answer for LeBron. LeBron was the difference, okay? 35-9-9, he shoots a game-high 24 field goal. He shoots from distance. He hit from three. He got to the line. He created uncontested shot after uncontested shot. That's the difference right there. Look no further in analysis than LeBron James.
Here's the difference. One decision, and I don't know if you ever go back on this. You ever think to yourself, man, if I would have taken a different way home, maybe I wouldn't have gotten in that car wreck.
Sure.
You know, you always think of something like that.
Hindsight's always 20/20.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, but you know, you think about that, how my life would have changed if I picked one college over another, one girlfriend over another.
Fate.
Think about this. Yeah. If Philadelphia says, you know what, we're going to pass on Markelle Fultz. You know, let's use our brain here. Who's the best in the draft? Let's take Tatum. Now they got Joel Embiid, Simmons, and Tatum.
Yeah.
How about that as a 1-2-3? Now, who's the favorite in the Eastern Conference? How that changes the whole landscape just by screwing up one pick destroys, well, changes everything.
But I think Brady brings up a good point, and I that was the first time I've actually watched LeBron James seven straight games, every minute of every game. And that guy is not from this planet. He really isn't. And I mean, I still don't understand all the crap he takes from people. He is the greatest basketball player I have ever seen in my life. He completely takes games over. You can say what you want, but he takes games over in a positive way. And he distributed the ball beautifully. I mean, look what Jeff Green did, too, the other night. And I understand that if you don't get Jeff Green's 19 points and everything else, but you know why he had 19 points? Because they were all over LeBron, and he saw that. I've never seen more blind look, no-look passes to wide-open guys for buckets than I saw in Game 7 from LeBron.
Brady, why does it bother you so much when we compare, and I love it when we compare LeBron to Michael Jordan, and I do people will just enjoy it. I can enjoy it, and still I compare presidents, I compare cars. I said, Rich, how much does your car get to the gallon, miles to the gallon? How fast does it go? How big? How many people does it seat? I compare cars. We compare where we shop at the supermarket. How much is milk? This or that? Why can't I compare? You know, why is it such a big thing? I don't know.
It frustrates me to no end, the LeBron-Jordan comparisons. One, because, yes, I just want it to simply be appreciated. But two, they're playing in different eras with different rules. They've got different travel schedules. They've got different coaches. They've got different supporting cast. They're playing against different opponents.
Right.
They've got different recovery methods.
Just what you
it's
said
just
there.
Different.
But just what you – and I will wrap it up, as I know we got to – just what you said there about different supporting cast – and I've never thought I would say this, that's the reason why I'm leaning toward LeBron as being better than Michael Jordan, because Michael never had the garbage I mean, look, Michael had...
Let's remember Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh were no slouch.
No, I know that, but I'm talking about with Cleveland. Two teams, the 07 team and this team, it's hideous what he's got on that team.
And the other thing that I had never seen before, because I hadn't watched enough of him game to game like I did for the last 2 weeks, LeBron busts his butt. I mean, how many times do we see him get a basket at one end and then run full sprint one end of the court to the other to block a shot? And I had no idea he hustled like that.
Clayton says, hey, Rich, Larry Bird, buddy, he made his teammates better. I don't see LeBron doing that. I don't know why he would say that. Yeah, I don't know. That's the mistake of the day by Clayton. We'll go ahead. We'll say you made the mistake of the day. All right, when we get back, we're off and running. And let me tell you something. A former Patriot takes aim. And boy, does he really take shots at the Patriots and Belichick. Wait till you hear what he's got to say. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, I was going to say, hey, Celtic fans, if you want to get in the Town Fair Tire text line, but we haven't got a Celtic text. We're getting more texts on who's famous in Burlington, Vermont than we are in the... Come on. You see, this happens all the time when they're doing well.
Right.
We have a million texts of the Celtic fans. Now that they lost, we don't get one. One on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655. 6672. Were you disappointed? Were you not as disappointed because you know that it's going to be good things are to come, especially for next year? Or maybe it was, hey, you don't give a damn about next year. It was all about now. And you're completely taking away what happened. So let me know. And like Rich says, maybe you thought they were good. They should have won one of those last two games.
Disgusting. I'm still mad about it. But you know what? I'll turn the corner, and there's a lot to look forward to. Peter in Plattsburgh just texted in Howard Dean for recognizable Vermonters, of course.
Yeah. See, that recognizable?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking. More
but
than
But not
me?
As much as Bernie,
yeah.
In my opinion.
And more than me, though, right?
Yeah. Arnie,
not until you get on 2244.
Yeah, how did that go? Did you?
I talked to the honchos over there.
So are you going to be doing?
Well, they said obviously you're very very good looking.
Well,
and
yeah,
I said that's
I mean,
true.
Look at you. You're a god.
So they're trying to see what they could use my good lookingness for.
Good looks.
My good looks.
You could replace that. Remember that blonde a couple of years ago? She now what was her name?
Elena Pinto.
Elena Pinto.
Yes.
What a sweetheart. We met her a bunch of times. She was like the nicest person. But every morning she'd get up at like 1 o'clock in the morning and drive off to somewhere in Vermont. Why don't you be the new Elena Pinto?
That is a great idea.
I mean, you two look like twins.
We do. That's a great idea. We're both eye candy. I don't know. Let me think about that.
Eye candy.
Let me think about that.
Hey, it's Arnie. I'm here live at a Cavendish sugar mill at 4 o'clock in the morning. This is the best.
Just take a dull butter knife to my wrist. All right, Brady, let's get to Cassius Marsh. What the hell did he say about the Patriots? And it was not pleasant. Trust me on that.
Yeah, he's a former linebacker / defensive end hybrid who they acquired from the Seahawks before last season. They acquired him last September, rather. And Marsh said, they don't have fun there. There's nothing fun about it. There's nothing happy about it. I didn't enjoy any of my time there. You know what I'm saying? It made me, for the first time in my life, think about not playing football because I hated it that much. He goes on to say, I confronted Bill Belichick about all the things that were going on. I won't get into detail, but it was BS things they were doing. I just wasn't a fan. And so I basically, without asking him to get cut, I kind of asked to get cut. I had confidence I would have an opportunity elsewhere and would take advantage of it.
Wow. Harsh, so some harsh stuff out there.
We've heard a lot of stuff, but we haven't heard it quite that direct.
Right. You know, he said he wanted to maybe walk away from football because of what was going on. Well, you picked the wrong profession then, my friend, if that's going to go ahead and get you upset. Not every job is fun. Matter of fact, a lot of jobs aren't fun. People go ahead and go every day, 9 to 5, maybe earlier, working later out there. You didn't like what was going on? Yeah, you could have asked to be traded and stuff like that. Though it doesn't surprise me because it doesn't look like it's a good atmosphere with the Patriots. I don't know if it has to be that way to have winning. And if you know you have to go ahead and act like that. I just wouldn't think in 2018 that you want to be the stodgy old guy anymore. Shaking your fist at the sky, get off my yard and all that baloney. Belichick's never going to change. That's why all these cracks are starting to come out. All these rumors, stories are starting to come out. So I believe every one of them. I bet you didn't make it a pleasant place, Brady.
It comes across as sour grapes. I mean, Cassius Marsh is a guy who doesn't have very many memories in New England. One of them is getting run over by Kareem Hunt practically in game one last season. I mean, he's a guy who only had 16 tackles and one sack last year in 9 games with the Patriots before he was waived. It comes across as sour grapes as a guy who didn't play very well in New England and therefore maybe he didn't have fun because he simply didn't play well. Arnie, I take a different take on this, though. I don't look at this as criticism. I don't criticize Belichick, the coach, for this. I criticize Belichick, the front office guy, for this. This is a guy that you went out and gave up 2 draft picks to acquire. Now, he clearly wasn't happy, number one, with the environment, 2, with his role and how he was used. Did you bring in the wrong guy to play a certain role? Did you misidentify and miscalculate what this guy was capable of doing? Because he certainly thought he was better served doing other things. I don't know if Belichick, the coach, is at fault here, but Belichick, the talent acquirer, I think that's where the fault lies.
It's all Belichick, the coach. He's got to change his ways, and he's not doing
it.
Guess what? He's not doing it, but everybody else has changed their ways. Anybody else who's made a long career in the coaching has changed their ways, or they're not going to continue to have a job. We made the move here, and I brought this up many a times with you guys. Why did they make the move with the Red Sox? John Farrell wasn't a player's coach, allegedly. You know, the whole, got to be a player's guy, rah-rah, and all that. Well, if that's the future, it certainly doesn't account for it in football, because Belichick is the complete opposite of that. And who do we have on? Oh, our buddy Orenberg, Rich Orenberg.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. I don't know why. I just don't believe him and everybody else when they tell me he has a sense of humor. I just find that so hard to believe. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, this is a case of a guy who thought he was coming to New England to be the big pass rushing guy, be, you know, get the big headlines, get the big money eventually. He's still very young. And he just wasn't that. He was much more of a coverage linebacker, as it turns out. I think he had different expectations. I think you have a guy with a bit of a young, massive ego coming into a situation where he's going to have to check that ego at the door. And he just wasn't willing to do it. Well, it does come across as sour grapes to me. No,
he was more of a special teams player in Seattle anyway. I remember him more as a special teams player. He did start at times, played at the linebacker position. But I also think you have to look at the difference in culture is so stark. On one end, you've got Pete Carroll, who's as freewheeling as it is, who lets you do what you want and has a culture of openness, and that's what you're used to, and then lets you go out and play the exact same way. And Belichick and Pete Carroll are complete opposites of each other in the way that they handle things both on the field and off the field in the locker room. And I think that difference is probably jarring to a young player.
Well, I was going to say, can you criticize somebody that wins a Super Bowl? Isn't that the ultimate answer there? I'll give you an example, Rich. A friend of mine, out of 1,600 on the SAT, scored near perfect, 1580. His parents were very hard on him. How did he score 1580? His parents locked him in his room for a month ahead of the test and wouldn't let him out and literally gave him his meals in his room. Is that the best way to really teach your kid? Is that the way to go ahead? Or is that just being a real SOB? Did it work out good? Yeah, the kid's a big attorney now in his 50s and making millions of dollars.
Yeah, but is he happy?
I don't know.
That's all that matters.
Was he happy at that time where he was stuck in his room for a
month?
No,
probably not. But to me, the payoff of that is he happy as an adult?
That's all that matters to him. I don't know. Maybe he didn't even want to be an attorney. Maybe he wanted to be a hippie, a painter, and travel the world.
The one thing I will give Marsh here, on his side a little bit of this, is that he did not come to this team knowing what he was getting into. He was traded here. It was his choice. And that, to me, gives me a little leeway towards his plight.
And he doubled down again today. He basically said, Patriot fans who were coming at me on social media, tough. Don't look at my social media channels if you don't like what I have to say. I'm telling you the truth. This is how I saw it. And again, we don't have to like what he said. Patriot fans don't have to like what he said. But we ask these athletes to be authentic. We ask them to give us more than just a cliche soundbite. And here's a guy doing it. You can't have both ways.
What did Belichick do, though? This is more than just, I want to rush more and you have me in coverage. That's beyond that. You know what I mean? I want more playing time. You're not playing me. That wasn't a factor. This is more than, we're going too hard in practice or, you're doing this. There's something else that's bothersome about the whole thing because it's nothing about playing, not even about money. This is not even about money or contract. So what exactly is everybody talking about? Is this guy playing mind games with people? Does he threaten to cut them? Does he? I don't know. It's got to be something. I can't even come up with one thing, Brady.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a conspiracy. I look at it and say,
oh, really?
I look at it and say that Belichick's a grumpy old guy that probably, yes, we know he's not very fun to play for, but what alleviates that is the ability to win.
Yep.
But now you have a guy who is traded from the only system that he's ever known or the system that he's been comfortable in with a coach who acts one way.
Yep.
And now you go to somebody on the complete other end of the country, 3,000 miles away, to a head coach with a completely different attitude, a completely different outlook, who's not utilizing you in a way that you feel you should be utilized. Now, maybe Cassius
Marsh. More than that, though, it seems like. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
I mean,
really? They didn't play me goodbye. I want to get out of here.
The point about going from Pete Carroll to Bill Belichick, I mean, that is, you couldn't have a more opposite experience. And then when you get to the, quote, grumpy old man, you're not being utilized the way you want to. I know I'm just repeating what Brady said, but everything you just said is exactly what was going through my head as you were saying it.
And he's in San Francisco now, and he's got a 2-year, $7.5 million extension with the 49ers. So people do value his skill set, and I'll be interested to see what he's able to do in 2018 for a team that has some pretty big expectations in San Francisco. It doesn't bother me that he said it. It doesn't bother me that people feel this way. We heard Lane Johnson say it, that they create a culture of fear. He said, and he's the Eagles player. He said that he knows people that don't have fun there. We heard, I had heard, sources, quotes, Deion Lewis unhappy in Foxborough. We had heard that other players were unhappy in Foxborough. So this is not new to me.
Is it bothering Belichick? Or is it bothering Kraft? Are they losing out on free agents because of this?
I would imagine it bothers Kraft a lot more than Belichick. I'm not sure Belichick can be bothered by anything unless it involves family.
And the one thing I'll say, Arnie, I got to go to break in a second, but the one thing I'll say about what you said right at the top of this argument, you said that this is why the Red Sox got rid of Farrell. And that is true. In baseball, I think you need more of a player's manager. 162 games, 180 days, plus another month for the postseason and another month and a half in spring training. You're looking at 250 days where you're around these guys. It's a lot different in baseball than it is football. Football still, I mean, John Gruden just got paid how much? $10 million a year to be the stodgy old football guy?
Right, right.
That's still value. Bill Cowher gets brought up for every job opening there is. He hasn't coached in a decade.
Mojo and Milton is a lifelong Celtic fan. I could say that when you make it one game away from the NBA Finals without your two best players, it's all about waiting for next year. I totally agree with that one. And Peter in Plattsburgh says, thanks for the new word, Arnie, good lookness. Peter in Plattsburgh again. and as for the Celtics, very excited for next year, but they need a man shot
a
blocker.
A big man.
Oh, big man shot blocker. I hope they keep Smart. He is the great. Why don't they go and get Amari Stoudemire? He wants to come back, right? Amari Stoudemire, you could bathe in wine. That's what he used to do out there. Brady, who's coming up next?
Tom Karen of Nesson.
We'll talk to him, our Red Sox insider, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go. Remember, you can download the 101.3 ESPN app for free in the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. That means you can take Arnie with you everywhere you go. The Huddle is back on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Moments away from Tom Karen, our Red Sox insider over at Nesson. So we got a lot of Red Sox to get to. Matter of fact, let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. He is our Red Sox insider at Nesson. It's Tom Karen. How you doing, Tom?
Good. How we doing, guys?
Right off the bat, give me your final thoughts on the Celtics. Season done. You feel optimistic because of what they got going for next year? You're still disappointed because they were one win away?
Right, I'm waiting for C, all of the above. You got to be optimistic about next year. It's a great young team, and they're going to get their best players back. But you're up by 12 at home in Game 7. You got to close. And I have a little trouble letting that go. Well, it was a tremendous season, okay? And there's nothing that takes away from what they accomplished and what they are building for the future. That you lose a Game 7 that you should win, that stinks. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't be able to, I would strongly advise against saying, oh, it's fine, they're going to be great in the future, because who knows, right? I mean, how long was Oklahoma City the team of the future? We've had a lot of teams in the future that never became the team of the present. Yeah. So, very disappointed because, like a lot of New England and anybody who's a Celtics fan anywhere, I was the old man sitting on my couch screaming at the TV to stop shooting threes. Because I've had enough of these five guys on the perimeter shooting threes all night. But I know that's the NBA today.
Yeah.
But a disappointing game, no doubt about it, but a great future, yes.
Yeah, TC, you just said exactly what I said in the first 10 minutes of the show. I was furious the other night. I'm amazed at how people in Boston, of all places, the most impatient fans in the history of sports, are just like, oh, that's okay, they had a great year. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, well, I do think that Celtics fans, out of the four hardcore fan bases in Boston, Celtics fans are the most forgiving, least demanding of the four. Red Sox fans, they win the World Series and they start complaining that it isn't two in a row the next day. Bruins fans, I think, are hardcore, but they're very, analytical. I guess Patriots fans have now come into the Hakuna Matata stage. As we see a former player complains and Red Sox fans line up to bash the guy. But the Celtics fans, I think they're just generally happy. They love the young talent. They love the future. And they're good with, I look at this as a great gift. And it was a great gift, right? I mean, no doubt about that. But again, that's a game they should have won. And I have trouble getting past that.
TC, it was a few days ago, but we want your thoughts on what happened on Friday. Hanley Ramirez DFA'd. What were your thoughts then, and have those thoughts changed at all now, a few days removed?
Yeah, not really. I was stunned, like everybody else. I absolutely had no inkling it might even possibly happen. And I've got Dave Dombrowski coming on the show today, so it'll be a good Q&A with him at 6 o'clock and get into how it all went down. Within an hour, I like the move. I think it's a gutsy move, but I think it is the best move for the team now and in the future. I mean, obviously, they had to get out of that testing option, but it was time to play Mitch Moreland. I've been saying on the air for 3 weeks, where is Mitch Moreland? I need him to line up every night. and you see what he's doing now that he's playing every night. And to make room for him, you know, you had to put Hanley on the bench. And we've known Hanley to be a malcontent, both in Florida and then in California with the Dodgers. It wasn't going to be a good situation. And I remember Manny Ramirez about 10 years ago when his option started becoming a story. That was when he totally changed, became surly, became a problem in the clubhouse. You remember the altercation with the traveling secretary. And Alex Cora was a member of that team. He's a player here in Boston at the time. And I think Alex Cora knew they were going to be heading down that same path. So, you know, he's going to sign somewhere and probably hit a bunch of home runs for somebody else. But that said, I think this team is better and better suited as a group of players in the clubhouse and as a bench that has versatility. I think it was the right move, though. It's a tough call.
No, I agree with you. I think it was a move that had to be done, especially for the future, because, I mean, you can't do anything about Price's contract or Pedroia's contract that nobody wants to touch out with a 10-foot pole. Somebody's got to go. Some contracts have got to be cut, and this was the first move there, right, TC?
Yeah, I think the only, you know, the criticism is that it didn't have to be done now. But see, I think it did. I think you need to keep Brock Holt on the bench to have more help off the bench. I don't want to lose Blake Swihart. I'm still of the belief that Blake Swihart is a young player with his best years ahead of him. And like I said, if Hanley's not playing, he's not happy. When Hanley's not happy, he can infect the clubhouse the wrong way. And I didn't want to see that happen here. They got a good thing going. They got to keep it.
So David Price pitches yesterday, and I mean, he's been on a, you know, a pretty positive run the last few starts. But then after the game, he seems to take shots at his doubters. And what'd you make of that?
Well, you know, that he hears everything, that he's thin skinned, that it hasn't been an easy time for him in Boston, and he wants us all to know that he hears it all and he doesn't forget. I think it was a bad choice of timing to do that. I think the comments looked bad in print, so if you watched him, it was clear he was being sarcastic when he said, "I'm soft. I'm the softest guy in his clubhouse." But it's a big story today. You know, there's a lot of local TV reporters swooping in here asking lots of questions about Price and his comments. And after one of the gutsier performances we've seen, taking a line drive off his chest and then battling through the five innings, I think it would have been a better time to just be quiet and get on with your postgame. But he's not going to do that. That's not David Price, and that's not going to change.
Tom Karen, Red Sox insider at Nesson, with us here on The Huddle, as he is every Tuesday at this time on 101.3 ESPN. Let's get to more bad news. Mookie Betts out of the lineup again today. Left side soreness. What are we making of it?
All right, here's your scoop. I talked to Mookie moments ago. That's why I didn't answer the phone when he first called.
Okay.
I was talking to Mookie.
Jeez.
And he says he feels he's not worried about it. Says it's just some tightness. Doesn't think it's the oblique. Doesn't think it's in that area. Stopped as soon as he felt it. He said, if this is September, I'm playing through this and I'm okay. He goes, but we want to err on the side of caution. It's early. I'm having a great season. I don't want to mess around with it. Probably still won't. But won't play tomorrow. Probably won't play the first game in Houston, though we'll see. But he thinks he will return in Houston this weekend. And he said he's never felt anything like this before. He's never had any issues on the side or with the oblique or the intercostal or anything down there. So more than anything, he said it was such a foreign feeling, something he'd never dealt with before, that he didn't want to take any chances. But when he says he's not worried about it and that he already did some dry swings today in the cage, and so he's already ramping up a little bit, I think that's a good sign.
Hey, TC, I don't want to say that Jackie Bradley Jr. is breaking out of his slump when you're still under 200, but what's the latest on him? What do you think's going on with him? Because he is hitting a little better.
Oh, he's better. I mean, listen, the last 8-10 games, he's definitely better. When you're so far underwater that it takes you, you know, 2 weeks just to swim to the point where you can start to see the light on the surface,
yeah,
it's going to take a while to get to 200 the way he was. But he is, you know, I think he's, I was looking it up. I think I forget the numbers now. I want to say he's 8-for-21 or something like that going back to the start of the Tampa series.
Wow.
Some extra base power. I think making that catch yesterday is in part because he's feeling better about himself at the plate. I think, you know, that's why Jackie Bradley Jr. needs to be on this team, because of what he does defensively. He's got to hit a little bit, and now he's hitting a little bit. So I think it's really good news, and I think he's starting to go on one of his runs. Not quite ready to explode yet, but I'll take, you know, what you got yesterday, which was an RBI double, a walk, and 2 runs scored. You'll take that.
Knowing JBJ, will be talking to you next week after his 700 week. Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a guy.
Well, he's done that, right? I mean, that's the thing. You know, he's got that in him. And, you know, He's a guy who goes from ice cold to red hot. He's done it all his career. But, you know, he's 28 now. You'd like to see that even out a little bit. He's got to show you a little bit of consistency. And now that Hanley's gone, you know, he's going to play, right? I mean, JD's going to play more DH without Hanley here, which means you're going to have that defensive outfield intact, which is part of how they built this team.
Pedroia 0 for 7 to start, but it sure was nice seeing him diving across home plate head first and dirt all over his uniform. It's like, ah, there he is. How's he doing?
He's feeling good. He's, you know, again, according to him, he has barreled up every single ball he has hit. And, you know, it's just stunning that they've been in such a amazing analytical positions defensively to be right where he's hitting them. And so, and you know, he believes he should be 7 for 7, and it was robbed every time at the plate, which is great. That's what you want Dustin Pedroia saying and feeling. I mean, that's when he's at his best. And what you really forget is just how good he is defensively. And you forget because he makes it look easy. You know, I mean, we've all seen the slide in the outfield and the dive and everything he does. But you know, he gets the ball effortlessly. And we haven't seen that. You know, Eduardo Nunez is not that. And so for him to solidify, listen, with Dustin Pedroia at second and Mitch Moreland at first regularly now, you have dramatically improved the right side defense on your infield. And the hits will come. I'm not worried about offense. So I think it's great that Pedroia's back.
TC, do you trust Mitch Moreland? He was a 246 hitter and 233 the last 2 years he played full-time. Do you trust him?
Yeah, last year, I think it was around this time, maybe a little bit later, he was actually, remember, he was leading the league in doubles. He was Mitchie two bags, and he was hitting .300. And then he broke his toe. And then he played 7 weeks with a broken toe. And I think he hit under .200 for those 7 weeks. And if you took those 7 weeks out, you'd see his numbers are pretty impressive. So I do believe in Mitch Moreland, because I believe had he not broken his toe last year, you could have slapped 40 points onto that and another 12 doubles and another 8 home runs. Because that's the kind of season he was having. They're going to have to pick his spots. You know, I don't think you should platoon him because he's shown he can hit lefties. He did it a couple of days ago again. I think you just need to be smart and sit him occasionally against really good lefties to get him a breather. But, yeah, I think it's time to see if Moreland can play every day, because he was showing you last year. He played through a broken toe. Yeah. I mean, we're talking soft these couple of days. That ain't soft. You know, most guys would have taken it to the house and spent a month on the DL. He was trying different cushions around his toe and different bandages and changing his batting stance to take the pressure off the broken toe, but he didn't miss games. He kept playing. Probably hurt himself doing that. So let's see if he can stay healthy. If he stays healthy, I think he hits.
TC, we'll get you out of here on this. Rumor has it that your son is already abroad, so if that is true, we tell you that our old intern is his roommate abroad, and we haven't heard any negative stories, so he hasn't been arrested by European police or anything.
Well, that's because you haven't heard anything. They took all their phones when they got there. My sources tell me they come back tomorrow, but we haven't spoken to them for 2.5 weeks, so we have seen some pictures on a blog, and none of them appear to be with the constables in France. So it's easy to pick out the long-haired dude in the group pictures, so we find him every night. And he will be back terrorizing Burlington before you know it.
I love it. I love it. TC, always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the week. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. Tom Karen, everybody joining us as he does every week. Where's his son going to France? Is that where he was?
He's in France, yeah. I didn't want to say it because I didn't know, you know, I didn't want to give out too much family info.
Yeah. Well, did you see the viral video of the guy that climbed up 4 stories on the outside to save a baby dangling from the 4th story up in France? That's what it was?
No.
Oh, it was incredible. And he wasn't a citizen, so they made him a citizen, and they gave him a job at the fire department to go ahead. The 22-year-old kid climbed up 4 stories on the outside, grabbed the baby because the father was too busy playing video games and got distracted. And the kid was literally hanging off the side of the terrace. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, though, we'll come back. We'll finish out the hour with Gone But Not Forgotten. You're in the huddle right here on.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. Family's love is forever real. Feel free to contact them 24/7. Elmwood Meunier even has affordable options for your pets. They have Sports Theme Burials, Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center. No good deaths today. None good. I mean,
no, I couldn't find one either.
I think Manuel Noriega, but I'm like, I don't want to waste my time on that. Come on. So I'll just go with the very easy one, the Houston Rockets three-point shot. 7 of 44 for the night. At one point, missed 27 in a row.
No one near him. Wide open jumpers.
You would think eventually, being a professional basketball player, that somebody was going to hit one.
James Harden is not fun to watch.
No, he isn't fun to watch out there. But that was about the worst exhibition of shooting I think I've ever seen. And it happened just coming to game 7 out there. But yeah, the three-point shooting for the Rockets, well, I was going to say, can't get much worse than that. And then I'm like, it can't. They went over, missed 27 in a row. So it can't get worse than that.
Well, the night before, I was thinking, how can you possibly shoot worse than the Boston Celtics? And Houston found a way to do it. So congratulations to them. Gone but not forgotten. If they're not gone, they should be. The training staff of the New York Mets, Noah Syndergaard, gone. See ya again. I mean, how many months ago did we start talking about it doesn't matter what Arnie's beloved Mets do because the whole team is going to be injured by the All-Star break? And sure enough, Noah Syndergaard back to the DL this afternoon. He's had a great start. Strained index finger on his pitching hand.
No big deal.
How do you strain an index finger?
Relax. You're blaming that on the training staff?
I was about to say, what are you
doing? Would you like the list of Mets that are on the DL right now?
They're not.
And it's every year.
I'm not going at them for a strained index finger.
Look, I have to
go
somehow,
after they had a fever.
I have to incorporate some sort of title into the name of this segment. So I got to stretch it a little
bit. Well, he did stretch that one. Go ahead.
I'm going gone but not forgotten. Demarius Randall's bank account, perhaps, the Cleveland Browns safety. He said that he's got no faith in the Cavaliers to win the finals. So he stirred up some controversy. He said on Twitter, if the Cavaliers win the 2018 NBA Finals, I'll buy everyone who retweets this a jersey. So at 335,000 retweets,
wow,
that's $100 a jersey. Well, you're looking at $33.5 million committed to Twitter people if the Cavaliers win.
They have no chance whatsoever.
No, they don't.
No, they don't, but $33.5 million if they do is going on. That's at least.
Just for that reason alone, I would like them to win.
Who do you think he's cheering for?
Oh, geez, how great would that be if they won? He's not paying off all those jerseys.
No, this is it's 4 years in a row, same two teams. Unreal.
Right. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. A family's love is forever. Feel free to contact them. They're there 24/7. They've been around over 50 years. Elmwood Meunier has affordable options for your pets, sports, theme burials. They've been with us from day one of the show. Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center. Hour one in the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. We'll come back. We'll get more into the Celtics as we get ready for hour two. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Sports and sports talk for the Champlain Valley. WCPB, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
The Tuesday after Memorial Day, and we are back right here on the huddles. We get ready for hour number two. Well, yeah, we will talk about the Celtics, but we are just minutes away from announcing the winner of the Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience. You've been qualifying for 3 weeks, and we've got that winner coming up about 5 minutes from now. The Red Sox will look to be a winner tonight. They'll take on the Blue Jays. Oh, I'm going to mess that up. They take on the Blue Jays tonight at Fenway Park, 6:25. We've got the coverage for you right here on 101.3 ESPN. Rick Porcello's on the mound. Mookie Betts is not in the lineup. It's his third straight game that he's missed due to side soreness. Our Red Sox insider from Ness and Tom Karen says he just talked to Betts, who says he's fine. He does anticipate him missing the next two games, though, and playing again this weekend when the Red Sox take on the defending champion Houston Astros. The Celtics season is over. We'll get back in to what they need to do this offseason. And what do we make of post-game comments by Marcus Smart? What do we think of comments yesterday by Terry Rozier? We'll get into all of that. Former Patriots defensive end slash linebacker Cassius March said that he did not enjoy his time in Foxborough at all. He's played 9 games with 1 start for the Patriots last season. We'll get back into that in hour number two as well. You're in the huddle, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app and on your Amazon Echo.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN, hour two of the show. It's a Tuesday. Hope everybody had a great holiday over the weekend
and
enjoyed yourselves.
Tuesday
it
already.
It is Tuesday, my friend.
So by Friday, I'm going to actually realize that it's, in fact, Friday.
I'm off Friday, so I got a three-day work week,
oh my
boys.
Gosh.
Wow, look at you taking days off left and right now.
I'm going to a bachelor party.
Oh.
Last bachelor party we had was for my 80-year-old cook in the fraternity. What a time that was.
I'll bet it was.
Oh, it was great.
It was
fantastic.
Did he survive?
It was just a good time.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
It was a great time.
Did Burnin' It Fusco show up?
No. Are you gonna stop with that? Are you gonna have a real bachelor party like back in the day, or
like strippers and stuff?
Yeah, like cigars and all that stuff.
It's gonna
be
cigars. It's gonna be.
I don't do cigars.
We're having the beer Olympics.
The beer Olympics.
Yeah.
Just chug beer and stuff.
No, it's just a different. We got teams. We got events. Beer pong. Cornhole.
Nice.
Can jam. We got the beer Olympics this weekend.
Yeah, bachelor parties are different than back in the day. You know what I mean?
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Did you have a bachelor party, Rich?
No.
I didn't even have a honeymoon.
Yeah.
I didn't have one either.
Why? It was too expensive?
We both just went back to work the next day.
I wish I didn't have a honeymoon.
I know. Let me guess. We went to the Canadian Rockies. How much longer can you stare at water?
Worst decision I ever made in my life.
The most beautiful place I've ever set foot.
Worst decision
Lake
ever
Louise,
made in my life.
Lake Louise, Alberta, and you hated it.
Hated it.
How is that possible?
No, it was fine for like an hour. You know, what am I going to do the other 9 hours, and 9 days and 23 hours? You know? I should have just gone to Hawaii.
Was this during ski season in Lake Louise?
No, it was not.
Okay, well that
we got married in September, so I just had no fun.
Yeah,
we got married right before the start of football season, so I was worried about I was going to get fired when I got back, which I did, and you know, it just sucked. It was horrible. You know how I knew I was getting fired? But I don't think I told you guys this. When this was the biggest mistake of my life, when we were putting the tables together, you know, which are very important. The only say I had was because you know my wife made all the tables. I put all my coworkers. Two tables, one, all the talent and the producers and the host at one table and the executives at the other table. And none of the executives showed up. And I knew right there and then I was getting fired. I'm like, oh, this is going to suck.
Did they RSVP yes and then just no show the day of?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
that's a bad sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they give you a gift at least since they RSVP'd yes?
The lady that fired me gave me $150, which I cashed right away. So I'm going to teach you
bucks.
A lesson. Yeah. Well, she didn't show, so what the hell did I care? And so I cashed that one right away.
Now, the whole time you were in Lake Louise, were you thinking you're going home to get fired?
Yeah.
Which just made it even worse?
It did. Because one of my friends actually tipped me off and called me up and told me what was going on.
On your honeymoon?
On my honeymoon. But it was okay. Because I would rather have known than to,
really?
Than to be in the dark. He called me toward the end of my honeymoon. And
you wanted to know in your honeymoon in the most beautiful place on this planet that you were about to be fired.
Yeah.
Really?
But that way, it made me a lot of money because when I get back, they tried to, you know, I had a year left on my contract. Remember, I told you that and they tried to just say, you're going to work midnight to six. I said, no, I'm not. You're going to give me, I'm a fair guy. Give me 6 months. Cut me a check. Have it ready by 5 o'clock today. Yeah. And they had a check for like $80,000 that day.
Oh, that would
so
work.
I had a chance to think and put my wits together instead of being emotional. And I said, you know what? If you give me the 80,000, guess what? After I got the check, things were okay. You know, wasn't that bad getting fired now, Rich. Things were okay, and I wasn't having that bad of a time. You know?
I guess I can see how Alberta and Lake Louise in the summer. I mean, it is stunning. But then again, this is from the guy who thought the Grand Canyon was overrated.
Yeah, that's way overrated. How long are you going to stare
I was
at a
completely
pit
bored after an hour at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, don't blame you on that. All right, Brady, I saw people sending us messages on our Facebook page. Did you announce the winner? Did I win? Did I win? And stuff like that. So we got to go ahead and get a winner now.
The ultimate Fenway fan experience. We've had 3 weeks worth of qualifiers. You guys have called out in droves. Here's the recap of the contest.
Yes.
Box seats June 5th. That's 1 week from today. Red Sox and Tigers at Fenway Park. You're going to get a hotel room in Boston for the night. You're going to get a tour of Fenway Park exclusive. And you're going to be on field for batting practice. So 3 weeks worth of qualifiers and hundreds of others who tried to get in. And we've got our winner.
That's unprecedented, by the way, being on the field during batting practice.
Yeah. That's
incredible.
That's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We've got the winner waiting on line one. And our winner is Jeff Labonte from Essex Junction.
Jeff Labonte, yeah.
Jeff, what's up?
You there, Jeff?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Congratulations on that, huh, my friend?
Thank you very much.
Big Red Sox fan?
Huge Red Sox fan.
Thank goodness for that.
My father-in-law's a big fan, so I'm bringing him as well.
Oh, wow. Perfect. Look Bring at you family. Taking the father-in-law. How great was, is that? Look at you sucking up. I love that.
I was just waiting
that's
for
you. Away
actually,
with it.
I've been a Yankee lifer.
He goes, that's how you get away with it. Yeah, that's how he's able to get away from his own family for the day. Take her husband. Or take her dad, rather.
Obviously, go to the game and stuff. Have you ever been down to the field or batting practice or anything like that, or what?
I've been there for batting practice, but never been on the field. So that's the highlight for sure.
And maybe if you play your cards right, maybe somebody will hand you a bat. Just take a couple of pitches.
That would be pretty awesome. My father-in-law's already got his Pedroia jersey iron, so he's hoping for an autograph on that.
I will give you $20 if you take Mookie Betts' jersey. Just right, just from the locker room. Just take $25 if you're going to drive.
I was
going to
say only 20.
20, yeah, 20,
25, I'm in.
Yeah, 25. Yeah.
And will you pay bail?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that security guard that took the guy's jacket, remember up there? You know what? Maybe ask him for like a bat and stuff. Try to get like a bat sign.
Be that guy.
Yeah, be that guy. I'll
definitely keep you posted. If I'm able to score that, I'll call back into the show for sure.
Ask him if you can call an inning or two. Why not? I mean, if you're going to go ask for call an inning or two.
Coach first. Why not?
Do they have a bullpen cart? See if you can drive that.
Well, it's tough to follow Tom Caron on your show. That's not easy either.
Hey, and Jeff, not only are you getting in good with your wife by taking your father-in-law, you're getting in good for Father's Day. Now you don't need to get him a gift also, right?
Wow.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's something I hadn't thought of, Brady.
So there you go.
We'll take plenty of pictures and do video all that. And we want to check it out and enjoy it, have fun, and just congratulations for winning.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeff. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks a lot. Jeff Labonte, everybody from Essex Junction.
Nice.
How cool is that? Yeah, you could have a lot of fun. I bet you, I would. I hate to say this because when I went to UCLA football practices just to watch, I would pick up a football that was laying on the ground, play catch with my friend, and then throw it over the wall to a third friend that was standing over there. That's wrong. I know
now,
that.
Now, you guys are encouraging him to steal Red Sox merchandise.
Borrow.
And encouraging him to ask for equipment. You do realize that I'm going to be the one who has to deal with it when the Red Sox say, we don't like you anymore.
Well, that's the point. We don't care because it's you, not us.
I care.
Wouldn't this not be the funniest thing if he had a Mookie Betts jersey? I said, how did you get it out of the locker room? He goes, well, I just put it on. Nobody can tell when you're wearing a jersey. You know what I mean? Nobody can tell between when did you buy at the store and the real one anymore, Brady. You buy the real jerseys now, don't you, when you go to like MLB.com or when you buy
the replicas.
Jerseys? Replicas, but they have real ones too. The NFL, you can tell when they have the little NFL logo on the front right by the neck. You could buy the real stuff now. You can't tell the difference.
Maybe you could get like Dustin Pedroia's game-worn jersey because it's not worth much by the time he's played three innings.
You could get Eli Manning's and it would just be fake.
And then somebody would get fired for that. Besides, Pedroia still is nicely, all clean and,
till the third inning.
Yeah, but it's all iron that has no hits in it. So
I'd like to be the guy who's in charge of cleaning Dustin Pedroia's uniform every night.
Hey, by the way, remember, speaking of jobs we'd love to have, trivia night tonight I'm hosting over at the Burger Bar in Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30. Half-price appetizers, tons of great beer specials. If you're a local college kid back in the area, need something to do, we got it for you. If you're a local that's been here already, we've had a lot of regulars that have come out, and they've always got that extra room that they open up for us for trivia night.
Yes.
So there's always plenty of room.
Read Brian in Fairfax his tweet, because it's like a three-pager there.
Oh, that's a text on the text line.
Yeah, read that one.
Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. He said, last year I brought my kids to Fenway for their first game. They were chosen as the honorary Bat Kids of the night
and
got to go in the dugout during batting practice and on the field for pregame ceremony.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, how awesome is that?
Wow.
I would have told my son, I'm going to go do that instead.
Yeah, you go ahead and sit there. You just you go back into the stand. Yeah,
my kid threw out a first pitch once. I've only told this seven times, but it was quite a thrill.
Yeah.
Did she throw it from the mound?
No, about 10 feet in front of the mound.
Did she throw
it? Yes, it was a strike.
Did she play softball or baseball
Never.
Growing up?
Not once.
Wow.
No, that was an incredible thrill. I was in tears, and she was like, Dad, it's really not that big of a
deal.
How
old was she?
She was 9?
Oh, so you weren't even at the embarrassing stage yet of her life. That doesn't come until like 12.
Right. And Lord knows I've made up for lost time.
my fraternity buddy of mine was the
Keg or resin?
No, not going to give the name on this story. My fraternity brother of mine, Joey, was the clubhouse manager of a Major League Baseball team. And he'd run and get them stuff that you shouldn't be getting them.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Jock stress.
Like drugs. What do you think? Oh. Like drugs. Okay. What do you think I was talking about? Wow. That's why I didn't mention the team. But I did mention Joey's name. He was the clubhouse manager for a while.
Ernie Spanier.
Yeah.
Ernie at 101.3.
Gee, that's what you did when you were the clubhouse manager back then. That's for damn sure. So, a lot of fun times. I had two of my friends were the Laker ball boy from high school. They were just the ball boy, but that's because Jeannie Buss were friends with them and said, come on, we'll make you the ball boy and have some fun.
I almost married Jeannie Buss. She thought I was cute.
She did. Why didn't I just, put the moves on her? I'd be sitting courtside every game with Jack Nicholson and go, Jack, put me in your new movie, man. Come on.
Did you have any moves?
No, I had no moves. Zero. I had zero moves.
Shock.
The only time I talked to Jeannie is when I laughed at her when her said that her dad was going to buy the Indiana Pacers. And I said, who's your dad that's going to buy the Pacers, knucklehead? Only about the Lakers, so that shows how much I know. All right, Brady, what's going on? Talk to me.
Well, remember, mistake of the day, you can get in. Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester if you want that baseball cap. They help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. That's for the mistake of the day winner. As for, now, look, the Celtics, I think we all agree they're in a great position moving forward. But that said, they still have a lot of questions to answer this offseason. So as the offseason now is officially underway, what are we thinking the Celtics, some of their biggest questions are?
I brought this up about 2-3 weeks ago. You guys laughed at me, and then somebody said he didn't want to listen to the show because of my stupidity. But I'm thinking you guys are starting to come around with this about Gordon Hayward. Now I'm starting to think more and more. I just don't see how this guy could be back on the team. How much is he getting, Brady? I always ask you this. 5-year, 150 mil. Is that what it's going to do? 125?
Not quite that much.
Whatever. 125, 150. Does it really matter at this point? He's taking too much salary for guys that we finally figured out have to come back. I still think we want Rozier back. I still think we want Marcus Smart back. I know all the contracts will come up at the same time. I know we're going to save money for Jaylen Brown. What happens if next year is the pick from Sacramento, Brady?
Next year. All right,
so
it can be any pick except the number one.
So you got to worry about that.
Yep.
You just got to make room. And plus, do you really want him on the team? Not that he's a bad guy or anything, but I don't need him taking minutes away from Tatum. From who? Take shots away. Kyrie's coming back, and he's going to take shots away from Tatum and some of the other guys also. I just think that we don't need two new guys on the team. And now that Kyrie's coming back, I'm ready to get rid of Hayward.
But you got to be careful with that, Arnie, because, talk about selling low. I mean, we don't know. We have no idea what he is. All you can base it on is what he did in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, but you're not selling low. You're selling to save $150 million.
Well, you're selling low because the guy hasn't dribbled a basketball since the five-minute mark of opening night.
But I'm not giving him $150 million to find out. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm saving money there for everybody else that I want to keep.
No, I don't think that's as outlandish as I think a lot of people do, just because there is such a crowd. I mean, who's going to do what? There's only so many shots to go around. My big problem, as I have said from day one, and they did a pretty good job of covering it, was they need a big. They need a DeAndre Jordan. They need a guy who's doesn't need to take 15 shots. He doesn't need to even score 12 points a game. They need a beast underneath who can block shots and get 12 or 13 rebounds a game.
The Celtics don't have really any projected cap space. They have no money available to them, so you're not going to be able to get a big free agent. That is out. You're not getting a big free agent because you have no cap space. If you're going to make a big trade and you're going to acquire a star, if you want a Kawhi Leonard or so, you're going to then be sending out massive amounts of money in addition to probably at least one or two prospects/picks.
Right. I mean, I just throw out DeAndre Jordan. That doesn't just happen.
Right. And I think that the Celtics' most precarious position is you have no idea what Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving are moving forward.
Yep.
Now, we know they're great players. If they're healthy, they're great. We don't know that Gordon Hayward's going to come back and be the same player. We have reason to believe because it was a bone injury, a fracture, that's going to heal up. But mentally, how is he going to be? Is he going to be able to come back? As far as Kyrie Irving goes, this guy's hurt a lot. I don't know that I trust putting all my eggs in that basket. Do I trust that he's going to come back healthy, be healthy for a full 82, a full playoff run, and then I'm going to go give him a 3-4-5 year deal, probably the latter on top of it?
Yes.
So I have to trust that.
Yes, you know why? Because Houston's asking the same question about Chris Paul, but he's 33, and a five-year contract's going to be 38, and he's not going to take anything less. So when you have a young kid, whether you're injury-prone or not, that's got his talent, the answer's yes.
Well, I have to keep Terry Rozier, I think, because I don't trust that Kyrie Irving's healthy for 100 games next year.
That's fine. Again, so now you're really making a case why you can't keep Hayward, because you just can't. And by the way, Utah got better without their number one player. Think about that for a second.
Well, it freed up a lot of
situations. So did the Celtics, we're going by that.
But obviously, if you take a Hayward away, it gives a guy like a Donovan Mitchell all kinds of running room. And, I mean, he was able to really flourish. And a lot of other guys, Joe Ingles, and obviously they have Gobert down low. That now there's, like, my dream guy for the Celtics would be a Rudy Gobert. But you've got to give up the whole farm to get him. The question becomes, though, and I'll say it again about selling low. If you do get rid of Hayward or Irving, you're selling low. You'd better get something back for that.
First of all, you're not going to get it for Kyrie, but you don't have to get anything back for Hayward. You don't need anything back. I'll take a second round pick because you're saving $150 million. And because of that, now that opens up so many things that you could do. You just want somebody to see, that goes to show you another reason why they should get rid of him. You talk about how devalued he is. I don't think anybody would really want him for a second-round pick. I think he's like in the Pedroia Price situation right now, where nobody's going to touch this guy with a 10-foot pole with $150 million, not knowing what this guy's. You tell me one team that wants to spend the max on Gordon Hayward. One team right now that thinks he's worth $150 million.
Well, let's understand it's less than $100 million.
It's less than
100.
Okay.
It's right now Gordon Hayward has. Yes, it's less than 100.
Yeah, now I'm talking about when is his contract up?
2021.
Okay, so after that, you got to make the big decision.
He's got 3 years left on his deal. The third year is a player option, so it could only be two if he wants to go and try to get that big money earlier.
Wait, so it's like $30 million a year for the next 3 years?
Yeah.
Ooh, get out of here. Get the hell out of here.
Well,
don't let the door hit your ass on the way out.
I worry more about Kyrie's health moving forward than I do about Hayward. Like you said, he had what he had, and I think he's going to come back strong, but Kyrie is the one that worries me.
I mean, why not just trade Al Horford then at that rate? You're going to get rid of big money there. He's got a $30.1 million player option after 2019 or so.
May have to be a choice also. And you're good point that. I'd get rid of him. I'm not paying him $30 million. I'm not paying Gordon Hayward $30 million for 3 years for $90 million. It's just not going to happen. And I told you this when they got him, and I feel even stronger about it now since he's missed a whole year. This is ridiculous to pay these guys that type of money. And really, nobody else would pay him. If he was open on the free market, Gordon Hayward wouldn't get $100 million for 3 years.
He wouldn't now.
No, not that. Well, even before the year started, he wouldn't get it.
Miami was courting him like crazy. And there were teams that wanted him.
Utah. Utah
let him go.
Where do you stand on the draft picks also? The Celtics could have six first-round draft picks over the next 3 years.
Right.
Now, it might not all work out that way, but they could end up with six draft picks. Are you at the point where the draft picks are untouchable to you still? Because you're going to have to make tough decisions and let some people go that you don't want to, so you need the draft picks to help rebuild things. Or are you at the point where it's win now, no matter what, and now we will sacrifice as many draft picks as we can?
Yeah, I think that Sacramento pick is huge because the Kings are going to absolutely stink. They're one of the worst franchises in sports. They're a guaranteed top five pick.
But that's not a guaranteed Celtic pick, though, is it?
Well, it is. Yes, you get that pick. The only way they don't get Sacramento's pick next year is if it's the number one overall pick.
Okay.
And Sacramento, you know, is going to go 23-61 or whatever they go every single year, and they're going to have a ton of ping pong balls. That's a very attractive pick. Maybe send one of those max contract guys and Sacramento's pick and get a ton in return.
Right, that's what
because
they
with
need.
All these draft picks, you don't need to get younger. The Celtics just need to move forward.
Mark in North Hero, I think, already inhaled too much smog when he was in Los Angeles. Alex in Moncton said he would wash my car if Gordon Hayward is in the Celtic next season. So wax on, wax off, Daniel-san.
I feel
pretty good about that.
And I want to get in on the mistake of the day. Rich, they'll go 23-61. That's 84 games.
I understand. Really?
Would you like them to
go? Are you seriously going to hit me with math?
If we did that with baseball, you'd be all over us.
Would you like to go 23-59 or 19-61?
Okay, I think 23-59.
I hope the Red Sox go 200-0 this year.
You're right. Yeah, but basketball, you're asking me. The math is too quick in my head there. It's
Dan
in
South Burlington, mistake of the day, Rich had the Kings playing an extra two games.
There you go.
Man.
There you go.
Wow,
there you
this
go.
Is a tough
right
bunch.
There.
Brady, what do we got when we're coming on back?
Well, we're going to come back. We're going to continue with the Celtics. 2 minutes after the game ends, Marcus Smart's talking about his contract. Fair
that's,
or foul?
That's just great. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
So the boss won't let you have a radio in your office. No sweat. You can plug in those headphones at your desk and listen to the huddle. Always streaming at 101.3ESPN.com. Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It's a Tuesday. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend out there. Wow, what a good weekend.
It was
good
great.
Weather, everything out
well,
there.
Well, yesterday was nice, yeah.
Yeah, you know, nicer than it was supposed to be. Hey, I didn't even get to tell you guys about my first baseball game.
Oh, well,
that's
look
right.
At
you were calling me from it.
Yes.
You said I have to go in and pitch next inning, so make this call
wow.
quick.
Wow. Yeah.
Two scoreless innings.
All right.
This is the hardball.
Okay, yeah. Wait, he hasn't gotten to the third inning yet.
Yeah. No, two scoreless innings.
Oh.
That's it?
Two scoreless innings. Well, we mercy ruled the team. We beat them 16-0, so,
oh.
we only played five innings.
Yeah, I pitched two scoreless yeah. innings also.
So two innings, scoreless, three strikeouts, no walks, threw
wow.
strikes. Did give up one bouncing ball single, which I was upset about.
A bouncing ball single.
Where do you play?
Dorset Park, Essex High School.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Couple other fields, but mainly Dorset Park.
Rich and I want to play. Could we play?
No.
No?
I did get...
I would like to play.
Because we were winning by so much, I did get two at-bats in the game. And the very first pitch the guy threw, he threw behind me. And I thought to myself, what, are you not a fan of Champlain Valley Game Night or
right.
something?
But that's just the best he could do, probably.
Aren't you Arnie?
I thought you were Arnie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then I proceeded to ground out to third.
Oh,
but
you're
I
so
reached,
weak.
I reached on an air.
Hitting's not a big thing with you.
No, I haven't hit in years, and I don't care about hitting.
Even your wiffle ball hitting. Wow. Oh, he's upset now.
Wow. I homered at Little Fenway. You struck out.
Such an insider.
And then I flew out the left.
So gosh. You're hitting zero, and your ERA is zero.
Correct.
Not bad.
In 16-0, you got no hits. Rich and I could have gotten a hit.
No, you couldn't have.
Is it that tough? How fast is the ball? I mean, how fast?
Know, between 70 and 85.
I could throw 85.
Oh, my God.
I could throw 85.
What?
I don't know.
Kilometers
yeah.
an hour? Is that faster?
I could put the ball in the car and drive 85.
And how was the marathon?
It was wonderful. I obviously didn't run it this year. It was actually depressing. I was all over the place on my bike, volunteering, doing weird stuff, but just trying to be sort of the go-to person if anybody needed anything.
The winning
but it
time
was hard.
Was like
I really
2:30.
What's that?
2 hours 30 minutes.
2:17.
Wow.
Yeah, that's.
Wow.
I think it was 40 seconds off the record.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
It took me 1 hour to run 1 mile.
Mass, I think very impressive. The whole thing, man. This city should be so proud of itself. That was an unbelievable. You have no idea the logistics behind that event. It's like a nightmare that just somehow works.
I had a buddy in town from high school, so we met him and his girlfriend out. And we did the touristy brewery tours, even though I've already been to all of them, nice. And I still had a blast.
Hey, it's beer. How bad could it be?
I drove. I didn't drink any, but I still loved it.
So, yeah, it was a great weekend. Of course, yesterday we finally got some sunshine. I was out cycling in the Northeast Kingdom. That was fun. So,
yeah.
What did you do yesterday?
Nothing.
Arnie?
I did nothing. Just
put your feet up.
Leave me alone. I'm napping, watching TV, and doing nothing, waiting for the games at night. And I just chilled. We got the hockey game.
The trouble with Memorial Day and Monday holidays in general is that you turn on your TV thinking you're going to get parades and all this fun stuff. It's like court shows and Oprah type
I Judge Judy. I was waiting for the Twilight Zone marathon, but that, yeah. I think that's the 4th of July.
No, so it was just that. The regular Monday shows. Yeah. Maury and all yeah. that foolishness.
Well, I dig all that stuff, so that was
the
fine
chew.
With me. Yeah,
I grilled burgers and hot dogs. That was great.
Yeah. Nice.
Excellent.
I don't do that.
Perfectly yeah. cooked.
All right, what's going on with Marcus Smart after the game? He opened up his mouth, didn't he?
Yeah, Marcus Smart tells ESPN, to be honest, I'm worth more than $12 to $14 million.
All right, now, goodbye.
He's a restricted free agent. He goes, just for the things I do on the court that don't show up on the stat sheet, you don't find guys like that. I always leave everything on the court every game. Tell me how many other players can say that. So,
Joy Sacramento, Marcus.
Look, there's two main questions here. One, do you actually value Marcus Smart as much as he values himself?
No.
That's number one. And then number two, do you have a problem with a guy talking about his dollar value and how much he's worth minutes after the team has been eliminated?
Of course I do. I mean, could you imagine if you're Danny Ainge listening to this garbage, if you're Brad Stevens listening to this? You know, you're the owner. You're listening to this. I'm like, get this guy out of here. I'm not going to give it. 12 to 14 million is more than enough for Marcus Smart. You want more? You ain't getting it from me. Let's see who's going to pay up that type of money. Goodbye. See you later, my friend.
This is like a guy who hits 210 with 35 home runs every year. You know, it reminds me of a guy who can't do one really important aspect of the sport, but is demanding more because he does everything else well. That performance he put on in Game 7 was just despicable. It was like, I mean, he's been awful all year as far as shooting goes. Everything else about his game, as I've said 1,000 times, is outstanding.
You give him any leeway for his thumb? He said his thumb is still badly messed up.
Don't shoot 10 times in a Game 7. His job is to shoot.
That's not his vocabulary.
I don't feel like he's going to ever stop shooting. He's never going to be the guy that realizes he can't shoot the ball, and therefore he'll only take 3 shots per game. I just think his ego is so massive that he's just saying, I'm going to be a scorer. One way or another, I'm just going to keep on shooting. A lot of it is 5 seconds into the possession, off balance, 3-pointer. That's got to drive Brad Stevens nuts.
Look, he is a career 36% shooter, not very good. He's only 29.6% from three. He's finished either the worst or second worst 3-point percentage on the Celtics in each of the last 4 years, and dead last in the entire NBA in 3-point shooting 2 separate times already in just his few years in the league. You're right, he does not shoot well from the outside. The money value is the money value, okay? People are going to pay him what they think he's worth. So that doesn't bother me. What he thinks he's worth, the market is going to be set for him, and somebody's going to offer him what they want. That his figure means nothing to me.
Yeah, I think the Celtics will offer him 12 to 14 million, which sounds high to me for a guy who can't shoot. But I think they will. I think he's a huge part of the team in so many other ways. But someone like Phoenix or Sacramento, who's got plenty of salary cap space, is going to come along and say, how about 19 million? And Marcus Smart will be out the door and win 20 games next year.
If the Celtics offer him 12 to 14 million, that's a bad thing, because that means they're not going to get Kawhi Leonard, because otherwise they'd be saving the money. That's the first thing to come off the books would be this guy's contract. So if they're offering him contract money, that means Kawhi Leonard's not going to be part of the plans. If they say, yeah, Marcus, goodbye, goodbye.
That's a whole other thing, though. Yeah. How do you fit Kawhi Leonard into the salary cap?
Well, I can't do everything. You can figure that out.
Well, you can
pay
the luxury tax, and the Celtics have said that they're willing to do that.
Apparently.
Marcus Smart also spoke yesterday at exit interviews. He said that it's being told to him that basically he's included in next year's plans. He sounds confident that he'll be back.
I got a lot to think about. You know, it's a lot of factors that go into it, you know. But, you know, my main set, you know, I want to be in Boston. I want to be here. I love the city. I love this team. I love the atmosphere that it gives off. And, you know, I've been here for 4 years. My heart's here. So, but it's definitely going to be some factors in going to it, you know, talking with my parents, my family. But I want to be here.
And then
parents.
What could his parents tell you? What are they going to say to him?
Dad,
don't you dare take
14
million?
His mom's extremely sick. So
that's true. Sorry.
That is true.
Yes. Yep. His mom's extremely sick, so there's going to be some talk probably about locale, how they'd make the – if he were to leave Boston,
Right. Where
is she based and where could he go, et cetera. He did talk about Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge giving him the impression that he would be here.
I'm here. You know, they already planned for me to be here. You know, and those guys, you know, I tip my hat to those guys, you know. You don't see a lot of, you know, organizations care about their players as much as, you know, the way this organization does. And, you know, Danny and Brad does a good job, you know, letting us be, you know, our own individuals and then mixing that with the team and getting a good lookout. So, you know, I love those guys, and they've already been planning for me to be here. So.
I will say that unlike the Patriots, it's probably a fun place to play and go to work. So, you know, I think they like it.
I mean, how ridiculous. What's he going to say? I hate this place, and I don't want them to give me $19 million next year.
I have to – and the part about him talking about his contract right after the game, that bothers me. But I also want to know, and I tried to find the audio. I could not do it exactly. If he was asked the question, then I'm less upset about him just giving an answer to a question. If it's more unprovoked, or if it's, hey, what do you think about being back or, you know, or leave? And he just says, well, you know, it's going to come down to money. I think I'm worth more than what, you know, people, project me at, that would bother me.
How about when you're asked about a contract, you say, hey, we just lost. I'm not thinking about a contract right now.
I understand.
That's
I understand
that. And is Marcus Smart, that we have come to appreciate the hustling, diving all over the floor, giving 150% every minute he's out on the floor if he's playing for Phoenix and they're, you know, on their way to a 20-win season?
Well,
I don't know.
I think that's a fair question about how much motivation a guy can have when playing in a losing environment. I mean, when it comes down to the money, you look at the player that he is. Now, the NBA salary cap continues to go up. There continues to be more revenue for the league, so the salary cap goes up. So, and there's a new CBA recently, so the contracts have ballooned. Marcus Smart's going to get more this year than he would have gotten 3-4 years ago. Matthew Dellavedova was coming off winning a championship with Cleveland, known as a gritty player who could play defense and was tough and dove on the floor, got $9.5 million a year. So if you think that Marcus Smart is better than Matthew Dellavedova, and you're extrapolated to 3 years after Dellavedova got his deal, 12 to 14 sounds about fair.
I love when our buddy Amir from Juniors just texts me. He goes, oh, my God, you're totally right. He has to be happy with $5 million a year. I love when people just say, he better just take $1 million a year and be happy with that. I love when people make up their own contracts. By the way, Jim in Essex just ripped you, Brady.
I don't understand. Now, yeah, he goes, Brady, did you just say you throw 85
miles per hour? I don't buy it.
I propose a contest, you versus me, three outs each with an ump and fielder.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm 49, and I bet you I win.
Yes.
All right.
So,
yes.
Well, number one, I did not say I throw 85. I said the league, the pitchers are between 70 and 85.
Yes. What do you throw?
I throw about 76.
He's still going to call BS.
That's nothing to call BS on
there.
Let's
set it up anyway. Centennial Field, right before a Lake Monsters game.
Oh, how great would that be? Centennial Field.
Jim in Essex, if you can provide the ump, because I'm not paying the $75 that they make, if you provide the ump and get some fielders, I will come and pitch to you.
Do we have a radar gun at Centennial Field?
Why don't we just see who
Rich
throws harder?
Rich could be the ump. Yeah, Rich could be the ump.
I'm not going to. Who cares whether it's a strike
or how fast I could throw.
And Jim, you bring me a catcher. Bring a catcher.
Okay, that we would need. Yes.
If you provide a catcher and can get the ump and fielders, then Shane in Burlington goes, hit this guy square in the back. 76 right between the
shoulder blades.
Yeah, right between the shoulder
blades. How fast can you see me throw the ball? How fast can I throw it? Like 40?
Like 36. I'm more concerned.
I had no arm.
That you could barely reach the plate.
Yeah, I could hit the mascot. I could do something like that. Baseball's not my thing anymore.
60 feet, 6 inches is longer than you think.
Yeah, it is. There's no doubt about that. It is way longer.
Running 90
sure.
feet is longer than you think, too.
Yeah, we got to do something at Centennial Field. I want to play baseball out there. Yeah, just put me in right field and let me bat.
Put play in quotes.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Brady, what's coming up next?
Well, let's get more. How about this one? David Price mouthing off again. We'll get into that.
All right, that's next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lake. The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arne and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Wow, show just flying by. Good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN on this busy Tuesday. Man, we're almost in the June. Where did May go? Finally out of the cold weather, finally out of the rain. We had snow like at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, remember
crazy.
That? Was it May? I think it was like May 1st or the day before. Yeah.
Now we're in the good weather. We're getting the summer in, and we're ready to roll. So thank goodness for
traffic's
that.
Traffic's going to suck for a couple months.
Well, it's the start of tourist season now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're full-fledged in the tourist season.
They were out this weekend.
Yeah.
Talk about land of confusion.
I just try to be more patient. You know, I have
You're a real patient driver.
I'm not
seen
a patient.
You pull out of this parking lot.
I'm not a patient. Well, I go over the curb in the grass.
You do.
And,
you don't even...
I don't back up.
It's hard to explain it, and I won't bother trying to, but all he has to do is back up 10 feet, turn the wheel, and drive out of our parking lot. Instead, he runs over the grass.
Yeah, and the curb and everything else.
Yeah.
I already have checked out of this conversation. I'm thinking about the Burger Bar meal I'm going to have tonight.
Trivia tonight, 7:30. Make sure you're there. We always have good crowds out there. So that's
how are the questions this week?
Very good. Very good. Matter of fact, I wrote a couple of them myself last night.
Oh,
so, no, yeah, you did. Like
yes,
you
did.
You
Shay
wrote.
Shay writes most of them, and then my wife is the overseer on the questions.
We had a ton of requests last week. People are getting kind of a little bit demanding on their
categories.
Yeah, they all have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week, the science guys all wanted very crazy.
Oh, we'll fix them up tonight. John in St. Albans just tuned in. Trivia tonight. Yes, trivia tonight, 7:30. Be there. So half price appetizers and the wings and all that stuff.
And the burger bar is right across from Fanny Allen. Easy to find.
Thanks to Matt for doing the half price appetizers and all the beer specials out there, because that's very nice of him. Because we always get a good crowd no matter what. All right, get to David Price. What's going on here? Why does he have to open up his mouth? Well, he had to, because he had, what, two good starts in a row, or was it three good starts in a row?
He's had a bunch of good starts in a row. He kind of a gritty performance yesterday. He goes five innings, gives up two earned runs, struggled with his command a little bit, but he got hit by a line drive. He stays in the game. And then after the game, he decided to make a mockery of all of his doubters.
I'm soft. You know, if it's cold, I can't pitch. You know, if my hand's tingling, I can't do my job. You know, that's it.
He just says, I'm soft. Basically, yeah. Let's translate it. I've heard everything you people have said about me, including you, Rich, who said that he can't pitch at Yankee Stadium.
Right.
He comes up with an ailment every single time there's a big start to be made. David Price is letting you know that he hears you, and he doesn't appreciate it.
And it's interesting, because now he's doing it after good performances, and somehow I think people are just going to laugh because, oh, that's his third. You know, he's struck out, whatever, 27 in the last 25 innings, and he's shown signs of being the good David Price right now. So everybody's just sort of, oh, ha, ha, I see what he's doing there. He's making a joke out of the media, and we kind of move on with it because of that fact.
Was it the media or the fans?
Well, I think it's... Well, I think it's the media, don't you? I mean, I think the media feeds the fans and forms their opinions.
There's no way the fans are getting on him because, one, they're in first place. They have the best, one of the best records, if not the best record in baseball, though.
Yeah, they do have the best record.
But there's no way the fans are getting on him. Did you see our Facebook page for 2 straight weeks that said he was the biggest waste of money in all of baseball, which is what you said.
But no, my point is this, though. They don't get on him because they're in first place, okay? And when you're in first place, you're really... You're not getting mad at anything. They're not really getting mad at Jackie Bradley Jr. He's batting 184.
No, I think if they're in first place and have the best record in baseball, which they currently do, and David Price is getting bombed every fifth day, those fans are tolerant of that at all.
You have to go by what he's doing now. And if the Red Sox were in last place, he'd be catching the brunt of it right now. It'd be a hell of a lot worse.
This is just—it's unnecessary. It's petty and unnecessary. And I've stood up for David Price a lot this year. Last year I couldn't stand the guy, but this year I've justified his spot in the rotation. I've justified fans needing to have patience with him. I've applauded his new attitude he had the first day of spring training, and he's been largely a good soldier. But this is a major revert back to the David Price that was unlikable last year.
And nothing. What triggered it? What triggered it?
Everybody's saying that he was soft and that he fakes.
Everybody. I mean, well, what triggered it?
What triggered it, I think, is that he's having some success right now, and he's just saying, well, bleep you, everybody. Look at me. I'm David Price. I'm pitching well, and screw you all. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's just it's unnecessary and it's petty. And for a guy who... Last year, a lot of his issues, remember the Twitter beefs that he got into with fans about his contract and everything? This is a guy who last year we knew that was listening too much to the outside, and it really doomed him because he became consumed with it. This year, he was going to check out of that stuff. He was off social media. He willingly said, I'll stop playing video games so it's not a distraction. Yeah. And here he is now allowing that outside noise to dictate how he feels. Now, hopefully it's just a slip up in his recovery process of his attitude, but this is a major revert.
He's John Lackey in a lot of ways, where that's just what he is. He's a bit of a tool, and you just have to kind of live with it. I think that's just what he is. And you know what? If he's going to be like that, feel free to go out and go 18-8 with a 3 ERA.
Have you ever heard of a pitcher making $200 million having a semi-good year, pitching three good games or whatever, how many, what, 8-11 or 8-12, whatever the hell he's done, and they're in first place, and he's making money, and he's miserable. What? You're not pitching awful, except for a couple of three starts, I think it was. You're making $200 million, and you're in first place, and not only in first place, you're crushing it. The team is crushing it. Yeah. What are you so miserable about? You can't be happy now, when are you going to be happy?
You got to know the temperature in the room, because it just doesn't seem like the time, the place, or the forum to go attack your critics. You've pitched well, and 3 weeks ago, people were ready to run him out of town, and you had him getting cut. And other people wanted him in the minors and all these things that are illogical to even think about. 3 weeks ago, you were on that side of the coin. Now you're on the positive side of the coin.
But he's not a likable guy. That goes to show you how he's not a likable guy.
That's what I think this just comes down to, is I think he's just not a very likable guy. I don't think he probably ever has been.
You just have to understand the temperature of the room. And he just doesn't have it. He does not have it.
It's a little bit like Marcus Smart 2 minutes after losing Game 7 coming out. And I mean, he's not like Marcus. Yeah. I'm not comparing the two, but it's the same idea. There's got to be some timing thoughts here.
Yeah, again, I want to know if he was asked the question specifically in Marcus Smart's case, but Arnie's right, yes. My answer would have been, look, I'll address that with my agent as we move forward, but I love Boston. But, yeah, so there are some similarities. But Price, again, it just seems petty and unnecessary.
Don't know why he's even starting with this. It's like he needs to have some type of conflict just to go ahead and get him mentally ready for his next start or something like that. I feel like he loves this stuff.
Well, I just think he's catching the fans and the media at a time when he's at a high point, and he's taking full advantage of it. Well, imagine if
how much of a high point could he be?
I understand. He's at a high point right now compared to what he was in that 3 or 4 game stretch where it was bombs away every time he went out there.
By the way, on a side note, Brady, my buddy at Fox, Ben Maller, ripped Ohtani for backing out of the Yankees start, calling him gutless.
Yeah, of course. You know. Yeah.
Was that him backing out, or was?
I'm sure. No, well, it was the Angels.
Well, they said that they were worried about him pitching in Yankee Stadium. Next thing he's not pitching, so he just called him gutless.
Of course he did.
Wow. So. Well, the reason he brought that up is because it was going to be pitching against
Tanaka,
yeah, which is would have been a great setup.
Yeah.
That would have been great for baseball. So
no, it would have been great for baseball in Japan.
No, I think it would have. No,
Ohtani against the Yankees would have been good for baseball. Ohtani versus Tanaka is good for Japanese baseball.
Yeah, but you don't think? I guess extra people wouldn't have tuned in just to see that one then.
No, because it's been done before, right? We've seen Ichiro against Nomo.
Right,
we've
but
seen
it's been
Darvish
a while,
against Matsui. We've seen that.
Do we eat that up though? We eat that stuff up, don't we?
I think you eat it up the first time it happens. I don't know that it matters as much now to the general public. Again, people who are in tune with Japanese baseball, people of Japanese descent, people who love things of historical significance, sure, I think they'd be in on it. But the average fan isn't watching just because it's Tanaka versus Ohtani.
I guarantee you ESPN was disappointed.
Yes,
Sunday
I
night
promise
baseball.
You that, Brady.
I mean, that was set up perfectly for a massive ratings bonanza.
But like as my Ben Maller said, he was gutless. So no, I just try to say that. All right, the last story standing. He didn't throw passes at OTAs, but that doesn't mean he wasn't throwing passes. We have a story about Tom Brady that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
I don't even know why I picked this for Last Story Standing. It was just so viral. People made such a big stink about it. Tom Brady was in Monaco. And by the way, did you see what he was wearing on the yacht that he was on?
I missed it.
The whole white, you know, white shirt, white pants, white shoes. Do you have to wear, like, boating clothes? Do you have to wear, like, all white when you're on that? It's unbelievable.
Like the people in the Love Boat. Remember that?
Yes.
Was it the Love Boat?
Captain Stubbings.
They all had white on.
Well, Brady decided he was going to throw a pass from one yacht to another. On the other yacht was Monaco Grand Prix champion Daniel Ricciardo, who was standing on separate yachts, and they were playing catch. Just imagine, you're playing catch on separate yachts. How much money is being thrown from one yacht to the other?
And I try not to think about that, Tom Brady.
And by the way, so that is what Tom Brady's doing instead of going to phase 1, 2, or 3.
Right.
They're up to 3 now of the OTAs.
Does he bring Alex Guerrero to Monaco with
him? No, he doesn't bring Alex Guerrero. Giselle was on the yacht, just in case you wanted to know.
Any shots of her?
And Gronk.
Do you think?
No, Gronk wasn't on the yacht. Stop.
Do you think they were negotiating how long he's allowed to play football for?
Yeah. She goes, are you sure you won't quit? Look at the yacht. Look how happy you would be.
She sounds nothing.
Yes, she's Jewish. I know.
Sounds nothing like that.
But can you imagine, you want to get back to football after you're hanging out at Monaco?
No, and that's my concern. He may never show back up.
I'll show up for game 1. I'm not even coming into the preseason.
He's still got to go to Montana with Edelman and Gronk.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll come out to Monaco.
Monaco.
You sure they didn't mean Monaco? You sure that was not Montana, was Monaco?
Oh, I thought we were supposed to be in Monaco.
That's right. Well, it was close. M-O-M-O. I got confused. Brady, what's coming up on Champaign Valley Game?
Well, we're going to talk about the Cassius Marsh comments. And then we'll talk about how big Kyrie Irving's situation is in the Celtics' future. And it's big in a different way than you might imagine.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see what's going to happen with all the Celtic offseason moves. And how they plan things out. I'm really curious about Gordon Hayward. So I keep saying that he's going to be gone. All right, rapid deal. Intern Lance, right? Is that the only intern we have?
Intern Lance back
wow,
at it.
We're starting to get them all back now.
And intern Kevin, he'll be with us at Burger Bar today.
Wow, great. All right, for Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Go to the Burger Bar, 7:30, things start. Brady coming up next on Champaign Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN.